Okay, we've been talking about faith warriors, and our base text that we're using is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, where the writer gives us this definition of faith. And there's two main components we've been talking about all along. First of all, it is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We are sure that we will receive it. We are certain that it will be there. And understand that surety and that certainty are there not because of anything that we do, but it is because we believe in the promises of Almighty God. Okay? And so that is the kind of faith that faith warriors have, being sure and certain of what is ahead. And when we have that kind of faith, it then allows us to deal with and face whatever it is that we may be facing in this life, knowing that we have the promises of God to look forward to for all eternity. This kind of faith, we've been saying all along, is our motivator. Okay? It helps us. It gets us moving. It propels us forward. It moves us to obedience. When we believe and we understand that God has given us His Word and He wants us and expects us to obey His Word, that kind of faith brings us to that obedience. And we're going to see that in this lesson this morning. Okay? It gets us through the difficulties. And we all, as we've talked about over and over again, we all have difficulties from time to time in our lives. And that kind of faith helps us to get us through to the other side of whatever difficulties that we are facing. And by the way, that kind of faith also helps prepare us. Once we've gotten through a difficulty, it helps prepare us for the next one. Okay? And finally, it propels us to victory. Again, as we look forward to the promises of Almighty God, right, then we press on towards the victory that He has guaranteed us as we live in obedience to Him. Okay? The writer of Hebrews has given us a who's who of the faithful from the Old Testament times. And what we've been looking at, and it's really important that we keep this in mind, we've been looking at not just some stories that somebody made up about some folks that make us feel good, but these are examples of real people that lived and died in their faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? And it also has been showing how those people in their faith have submitted themselves to God's will for their lives and how God used them to fulfill His purpose for them in life. And you know, that kind of faith that we're talking about should cause us to do the same thing, to allow God to fulfill His purpose in our lives. So that's really what this is all about, to learn from the examples of these folks to be true faith warriors. I can see my voice is not going to last me very long. So please bear with me. All right. So, two questions that I've been proposing to you as we look at these folks. First of all, what did they do? And secondly, what can I learn from their example? So this morning, we're going to be looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, little kids in Bible class said one time when asked about these three guys, so what were the names of those three guys? It was Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. So how sometimes how kids hear things. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Faith in the fiery furnace. Now, I don't know about you, but you look at different things that people talk about. There's 1,000 ways to die, and there certainly are. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I have a list of kind of things that, like, if I know I got to die, and if I have to die, I'd like to die this way. And my number one top priority is that I just like to go to bed one night and go to sleep and not wake up except in eternity. Okay? To me, that would be the best way possible to go. At the very, very bottom of my list of ways to die is by fire. Okay? That, to me, that is, if I got to go any other way, I don't want to go by fire. But that's the story we're going to be looking at this morning. Faith in the fiery furnace. In Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going to be looking this morning. Daniel chapter 3. The Israelite people have been conquered by the Babylonians, and they have been taken captive. And there are certain of the nobles of the Israelite people that have been put into positions of authority and so forth within the kingdom. And Daniel chapter 3 tells us of an incident that occurs with three of those Israelites who have been promoted to places of prominence within the Babylonian government. All right? And it all revolves around this event where the king, by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, built this golden image for everyone to worship. Now, what it tells us here in verse 1 is that he built this image of gold, and it was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Right? Now, in order to give us a little bit of a perspective of what 90 feet high really is, let me show you a couple of things. This room right here, from the floor to the ceiling, right here in the middle, is 15 feet. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's pretty high. Okay? The average length or height of a telephone pole is 36 feet. So we're talking here 2.5 telephone poles high for 90 feet. And the distance between bases on a professional baseball field is 90 feet. All right, so that hopefully gives you a little bit of a perspective of how high a 90-foot-tall golden statue would be. That's pretty tall. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar had made. Now, at the dedication of this statue, he had his callers, okay, the folks that were to read out the proclamation of this statue and what it was all about and what they needed to do, all right? He gathered all of the nobles of the kingdom together at the dedication. And here's what, at least in part, what the proclamation says. That everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the drum, an entire musical ensemble shall fall down and worship the golden statue. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. Okay, that is the proclamation. The king has had this golden statue 90 feet tall built, and he's calling upon all of his nobles to bow down and worship this statue. So the music plays, and everyone except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fall down and worship the statue. Now, one of the things you have to understand about what was going on in the kingdom of Babylon was one that was made up of conquered people from basically all over the known world at the time. Now, the king was one who basically would take a lot of the nobles from those who he had conquered and put them into positions of power and leadership and so forth. But as you can imagine, in a setting like that, there's going to be a lot of competition and a lot of jealousy for those positions within the kingdom. And so when these three Israelites refuse to bow down and worship the statue, what they were doing was obeying the very first commandment that God had given the Israelite people. You shall have no other gods before me. Okay? The commandment reads this way in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me.
Well.
Now, we look at that and we say, okay, well, that was the commandment. That's what they were living under, and they were obeying that commandment.
Amen.
Right? But did you realize that, though not in this form, we basically have the same commandment today?
Amen.
For us? Look at what the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 concerning Jesus. He says, He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. And by the way, that even referred to King Nebuchadnezzar.
Amen.
Okay? Was put in power by him. Okay?
Right.
All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Yes.
And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. And look at this very last statement. So that in how many things?
Everything
he might have the supremacy.
Amen.
Or literally, first place.
That's it.
Okay? Some of your translations say he might have the preeminence. That's what that word means. Is first place. That he says, I am number one, and I want to be number one in your life. You shall have no other gods before me.
Amen.
See? Now, that jealousy that I talked about a moment ago, okay, that these folks are kind of jealous of these Israelites and the positions that they have. Because the Israelites were pretty well despised by most folks of that time. Okay? But these three men, in the face of even that jealousy, okay, in the face of death, remember, they were warned beforehand, right? Remember, you know, the crier comes out and he reads, you know, the order from the king. And what did it say? That those who do not fall down and worship shall be thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. They knew ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
But yet, they stood their ground and refused to worship any god but Jehovah. And then, even if he doesn't, let's talk about that kind of faith. Because that's really what this is all about. Okay? And here's that jealousy that I've been mentioning that comes out. Some of those other officials go to the king and they say, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon. See that? You know, let's talk about these guys.
Yeah.
All right? Namely, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you, and they have not served your gods or worshiped the golden image which you have set up. They want to get rid of these guys.
And
the best way to do that is to point out the fact that they refuse to worship this image that the king has set up, thus defying the orders of the king. Well, you can just imagine things back in that day when you were king. How many things did you get to have your way? The answer is everything, okay? When you are king, you get to have everything your way. And so what you say goes. And that's the case here with the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. He was king over everything. And again, literally, it was most of the known world at that time that Babylonia encompassed. Okay? So he was the king. And he becomes enraged that these three, though he cared about them and he liked them, they had been serving him well, the Bible indicates to us. But he becomes enraged because they refuse to worship. And here's what he says to them. He's going to give them another chance, which I think indicates, you know, that he did like them. He did like their service, and he wanted them to be able to live. But the problem is he's made a decree, and you can't go against the decree.
That's right.
So what is he going to do? Well, he gives them another chance. Now, he says, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn and the flute and the lyre and the trigon and the psaltery and the bagpipe and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And notice this very last statement. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hand? Now that's someone who, would you say, kind of thinks pretty highly of himself?
Oh yeah.
Okay? And understand that because of all the different cultures and everything else, the Babylonians worshipped all kinds of gods. And so Nebuchadnezzar basically is saying, there's not a god out there who can save you from me. And the three of them reply this way: if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. Look at this next statement. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Our God is able to do this, and he will do this. But even if he doesn't, we are not going to worship this image you set up. What awesome, awesome faith.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing what they were facing, and fully knowing and believing that God could rescue them, beyond a doubt in their mind that God could rescue them, but understanding that might not be his will, and so he can do this, but even if he doesn't, we are not going to go against him. So they gave up their bodies. That's an interesting statement. We'll see where that comes from in just a moment. Okay? The king is so enraged at their refusal that he orders that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than it normally was. Okay? It's like, I'm going to burn these guys to a crisp. He is so furious. And now, you know, you kind of wonder, how hot is 7 times hotter than it normally was? All right? Here's another interesting statement. One of the things I love about the Bible is how oftentimes we find these statements that just kind of seem like, you know, it's details. And you go, why did they put that in there? And here's one of those incidents. Because it says here, so these men, wearing their robes, their trousers, their turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Now, why does the Bible here have to tell us about the fact that they were wearing all of their clothes? Why doesn't it just say, well, so he had them thrown into the fiery furnace? But no. It gives us this seemingly unimportant detail that they're wearing all of their clothes, their robes and their trousers and their turbans, all of it. And they are thrown into the fiery furnace. That fire was so hot that the soldiers that were tasked with throwing them into the furnace were killed by the fire. That's how hot it was. And then King Nebuchadnezzar looks into the furnace and he says, I see four men. He asks, didn't we put three men into the furnace? He says, I see four men walking around in the fire unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Jesus was there in that furnace with them.
Is
in the pre-incarnate state. In other words, before he became flesh, human, born into this world, this is an appearance of Jesus. Okay? And he's there in that flame with them. And they are no longer bound. Okay? They're walking around in the furnace. This furnace that killed the soldiers who threw them in there, because it was heated up to seven times hotter than it normally is. And they're walking around. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's kind of amazing, but it gets even better. Okay? Remember that little detail that I shared with you a moment ago about their clothes, the fact that they were wearing their trousers and their turbans and their robes and so forth. Okay? Here's what it says in verse 27. The princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them.
Amen.
Okay? In other words, there wasn't even any smoke. Now, you know, you guys know I've done a lot of cooking around here, right? We've had the picnics out here, and I got the grills going, and we're cooking, and the smoke is pouring out of the grill, and we've been there, done that, right? And I know just from doing that, as I've done smoking, you know, all kinds of food over the years, when I get done doing that, I smell like smoke for a while. It takes a lot to get that smoke smell off. Okay? But these men were put into the fire, not just standing next to the grill, okay? They're put into the fire that was heated to seven times hotter than it normally is with all of their clothes, and they come out of it and their clothes don't even smell like smoke. Is God great or what? Okay? Now, not only does he save them, okay, but he also saves their clothes. Okay? He saves their clothes. He is that kind of God. He saves completely. All right? They had the kind of faith that faith warriors have that are defying, even in the face of death, the orders of the king. Because of their faith in Almighty God. And God saved them completely. What's the effect of that on the king and the kingdom? When Nebuchadnezzar sees the results of this, they come out of the fire, and here's what he declares. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives. Okay? Some translations say they gave up their bodies. This is the king who is recognizing this. This sacrifice on their behalf, this willingness of theirs to give up their very lives in obedience to God. He says they gave up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way. Remember what he had said when he was giving them a second chance? What god can rescue you from my hand? And now he's saying, no other god can save in this way. The king of the Babylonian Empire recognized and acknowledged the power of Almighty God. You see what can happen when we live our lives as faith warriors. Now, you know, we don't have to be thrown into a fiery furnace in order to accomplish that. But when we live out our lives in obedience to God's will, we become a light. We become an example to those around us. See? And you never know how many of those might be willing to, just as the king did, to acknowledge Almighty God. You see, they had what is referred to as even if faith. Even if he doesn't, we will not go against him. My challenge for everyone this morning is to search out your heart and your mind and to seek to have, to be a faith warrior with even if kind of faith. Whatever struggles you are facing in life, whatever difficulties, whatever hardship, whatever persecution, whatever the problems may be that you are encountering in your life right now, first of all, do you believe that God is able to help you overcome? All right? Secondly, do you believe that He will? And third, are you able to say, just like these three, even if He doesn't, I'm going to live in obedience to Almighty God? To have that kind of faith. Even if faith in Christ Jesus. That is a true faith warrior. Right? Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And we take this opportunity to, for anyone, if you have a prayer request or you have a need that you would like for us to address, and now's a great time for, it's not the only time, by the way, but now's a great time for anyone to be able to come and to say, hey, could you pray about this for me? Or if you have something great that God has done for you, you want to share, you come and let us know that. If there's someone here this morning who has not yet given your life to Christ, you're not a Christian, you are lost, separated from God by your sin. I want you to know right now, you can leave this place this morning being saved. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now this morning for those that are here. For those that are worshiping with us online, if you have a prayer request that you would like for us to address, then you can, while we're singing this song, you can text either Dale or Wes, and their phone numbers will be on the screen ahead there, so that you can text either one of them and let them know of your request, and we will address that. And if there's anyone out there who's worshiping with us, who's not yet a Christian, and you would like to become a Christian, we can do that with you and for you as soon as possible. And all that means is you let us know that that's what you want to do, you're ready to do it, and we'll make it happen. As quickly as we can get with you, we will do that. And all you got to do is let us know. Tom is going to come up and lead us in this song. Come on up, Tom. So if there's anything that we can do to answer any prayers or help anyone, please let us know while we sing this song. Let's